Yo, this is Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses.
Hey, this is Carmen Electra.
Hi, this is Daryl Strawberry.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop D-O-double-G.
Hi, this is Don Sally.
Hey, yo, Hulk Hogan here.
What's up? This is Beyonce. I got a great show lined up for y'all.
Hey, yo, let's get this party started.
The Sports Beat.
You know what? Let's keep it hot.
The Sports Beat
is off the chain, man.
The Sports Beat.
Download the podcast now.
You're listening to The Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge.
Going on, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. I ain't gonna lie, we got a pretty amazing show for you today. I just also want to remind all my listeners that you are listening to us on Home of Southern Sports, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key. On the show today, I'm gonna have Columbus Lions quarterback Marcus Brooks. He is coming on the show. We got Columbus Lions in training camp. Their first game is going to be March the 17th. First home game, April the 12th. I'm excited that the Columbus Lions are back in the American Indoor Football League. Also, the Hardaway Lady Hawks fell to Baldwin in the state championship. I'll talk about that. The Columbus State Cougars, they upset Lander in the first round of the Peach Belt Conference Tournament. And the River Dragons played on a rare Wednesday night game down in Biloxi, Mississippi last night. Boy, I tell you what, I'm excited that I'm doing a show. I plan on having Dave Plata on the show tomorrow. He was supposed to be on the show today, but unfortunately something came up and we had to shift to the right. And so he is coming on the show tomorrow. I'm going to have a special show tomorrow. Thrift Behringer and I will have a Georgia Alabama Sports Live show. We are going to reveal our all by city teams, brought to you by Georgia Alabama Sports Live and Sports Vision, as we're trying to compile our heads on who is going to be on the first team, who's going to be on the second team, who's going to be honorable mention. So later on in the show, I'm going to pick my sports beat all teams and see if it'll match up with Georgia Alabama Sports Live's teams. All right. Let's take a deep dive into Hardaway's heartbreaking loss to Baldwin in the state championship in Macon, 47-39. It was very low scoring in that first half. The field goal percentage, you look at Hardaway, Baldwin going at it. You got to remember, Baldwin was the runners-up last year. They were also ranked number one, according to Kyle Sandy and Sandy Spell. You look at that first half, both teams shooting 20% from the field. Hardaway led 15-9 after the half, and they got a lot of fast break transition points because of turnovers by Baldwin, and they jumped out to a 29-14 lead with 3:20 left to go in the third. But one thing about a team that's been there before, because Baldwin has won multiple state championships, they know how to make big buckets when it matters the most. And Baldwin went on a 13-0 run. They cut it to 2 with the start of the fourth quarter. And Baldwin managed to tie it. It was 36-36. And Hardaway gets a big three by Michaela Johnson to go up 39-36. And with about a minute and a half to go, it was tied at 39. And Baldwin's best player, Walker, fouls out. And Hardaway missed some foul shots. They had some opportunities, and they couldn't cash in. And Baldwin was able to go on a 33-10 run after trailing 29-14 to win the state championship. But you got to give credit to Hardaway for getting to the state championship after reaching the Final Four last season. These girls played so hard to get to this point. It's just they were up against a much more experienced team that's been in this situation before, and Baldwin just knows how to close out games. But I'm still proud of the Hardaway Lady Hawks. Congratulations to Coach Kelly Ellison. should have most of her team back next year as they make that transition down to 2A with the new reclassification. I think that the Hardaway Lady Hawks should be one of the favorites to win state next season in 2A. Congratulations on a great season. The entire city of Columbus was cheering for you. It was Columbus versus everybody. And those that didn't make it out to the Macon Complex, they were watching it online, whether on the NFHS Network or just live streaming it. And Hardaway finishes with a 27-5 record. They are number one in the Georgia-Alabama Sports Live rankings. And I expect multiple players to make our Bi-City All-Region team. And I know that Hardaway feels bummed out for losing the state championship, but Coach Ellison is building something special there, and I believe that they're just going to continue this success for years to come. You make it to the Final Four last year, make it all the way to the championship, and come within a minute and a half of winning the championship. I thought that Hardaway was going to pull this out. When I watched them, and even though Baldwin climbed back, in fact, they tied it, Hardaway had many chances to take the lead, and they actually had a two-point lead with the ball with about 3 minutes to go, and Baldwin just made the plays. Baldwin had an incredible save out of bounds right to the center and put it up for a shot. They were making big shots down the stretch, but it was a very good game, and I was excited that I got to watch it on the NFHS Network. I mean, I was glued to my phone watching on the NFHS Network because I love sports here in Columbus, and I'm going to support the Hardaway Lady Hawks. They're in the state championship, and all I got to say is they made this city proud by making it to the state championship and by having a compelling game on the edge of your seat. This was just an incredible game that the Hardaway Lady Hawks just came up short. Other action in the state championships. Let's start with the Class 1A Division II Girls State Championship as Green Forest defeated Montgomery County 39-28. And then the next game was the Class 1A Division II boys, where Green Forest got the clean sweep. So the boys and the girls win the state championship as they defeat the Manchester Blue Devils 68-39. I know that Manchester was happy that they were in the state championship. You know, they were in the football championship. They got to be in the basketball championship. And they were just taking on a powerhouse in Green Forest. And then the nightcap at the Macon Coliseum, North Oconee. You know, they won a baseball championship back-to-back years. Now they have a basketball championship as they defeat the mighty Holy Innocents Episcopal, which has one of the top players in the state of Georgia. That's a big win for North Oconee on the boys' side. Don't forget, tomorrow in Macon, we've got action on the NFHS Network Thursday. Action for the GHSA State Championships. Let's start at 1 o'clock. We got the 2A Girls Championship. Mount Perrin take it on Josie, followed by the 2A Boys State Championship. The defending 2A champions Westside from Augusta taking on Toombs County. At 5:30, we got the 5A Girls Championship. Midtown taking on Jackson of Atlanta. And then we got the 5A boys to wrap up the night. It's Eagles Landing taking on the defending 5A champions, Kell. First round of the Peach Belt Conference Tournament for the Columbus State Cougars. The number 6 seed traveling up to South Carolina Aiken to take on Lander. And they get the upset win 65-54. They will face the number 2 seed 5 p.m. today, taking on North Georgia. Columbus State has been on a run before in the Peach Belt Conference. I remember 2020, they lost to Lander in the conference championship, and who knows what could have happened. Don't forget that the Columbus State Lady Cougars are in action today. As they are the number 3 seed, they will take on the number 6 seed, Clayton State. Congratulations to Latia Reeves for winning first team all-conference in the Peach Belt. It's the first time that a Columbus State Lady Cougar has won first team all-conference since the 2017-2018 season. Alana Rawls gets third team all-conference, so congratulations to Alana Rawls and Latia Reeves. And good luck to the Lady Cougars, as they're not that far away. They are only an hour away in Americus, as they are on the campus of Georgia Southwestern University for their first round action in Peach Belt tournament play. The Columbus River Dragons had a rare Wednesday night game where they traveled down to Biloxi, Mississippi. They got the 2-0 victory over the Mississippi Seawolves. They'll be back in action down in Biloxi tonight, puck drop at 7:05. You know what? I was watching the YouTube feed for the Mississippi Seawolves, the Columbus River Dragons. They did get a goal from Justin McDonald. And as they continue winning, we know that the goal at hand is for them to win a Federal Prospects Commissioner's Cup trophy. That has been the goal from day one. Now they will be at home against the Carolina Thunderbirds this Friday. It's only one game this weekend at the Columbus Civic Center. Back in action at the Columbus Civic Center next Saturday and Sunday, March 16th and 17th. I know that everybody's going to be focused on March Madness, Selection Sunday, and all that, but we've got a two-game series between the Baton Rouge Zydeco and the Columbus River Dragons. And get ready, March 22nd, 23rd. And 24th, Scott Brand is coming to town. The Columbus River Dragons are hosting the Motor City Rockers for a 3-game series. Still plenty of time to get tickets. Visit River Dragons website at rdragons.com/tickets or go to the Columbus Civic Center box office. I do want to say a big shout out to the Columbus Sports Council, because they do it again. Once again, we have got an event. Remember last weekend we had the GIAA State Championships. Now we have the NAIA Swimming and Diving Competition at the Columbus Aquatic Center. And I just want to give just an update on, let's start with the men's events. Earlier today, we had the prelims for the 3-meter diving, the 200-yard medley relay, the 800-yard freestyle relay, and then we had a morning session, the 500-yard freestyle. Now, this event is going to go all the way to March the 9th, as many schools that have swimming in the NAIA competing. Individual results. And now the moment y'all been waiting for. This is a little teaser, because Thrift Barons and I are going to drop our Bi-City All-Region teams. And I have first team, second team, and third team. I don't have honorable mention, but this is the sports beats, and hopefully it matches with what Thrift and I are going to come up with on Sunday. Let's start with the girls. And this is not based off position. This is just the five players that make the first team. And there's no surprise that my list starts with Jabria Lindsay from Central, followed by Michaela Johnson from Hardaway, Michaela Hosley from Pacelli, Tierra Tucker from Shaw, and Michaela Reed from Calvary. Not a bad list, starting with the first five. They made all first team, all second team. And this is just my list. Jasmine Thornton of Carver, Brooke Bass of Harris County, T.K. Davis from Glenwood, A.K. Shelton from Hardaway, and Grace Smith from Pacelli. Third team, All-Region. Naomi Burke from Spencer, Adasia Burrell from Hardaway, Aubrey Wilkins from Carver, Anna Grace Griggs from Glenwood, and Janiyah Broom from Harris County. Now let's go over to the boys. No surprise, my top five, well-deserving to make this list. Tony Montgomery from Carver, Jacoby Hill from Central, Jaden's Ford from Pacelli, TJ Benson from Calvary, Keyshawn Sampton from Spencer, second team all region, Bryce Dawson from Central, Makai Benton from Hardaway, Robert Hartford from Columbus, Tim Littleton III from Russell County, and TJ Smith from St. Ann Pacelli. My third team all-region, Jadarian Holloway from Glenwood, Gary Gaither from Spencer, Lamel Mims from Hardaway, and Antonio Dorch from Hardaway. And then Barrington Adams from Northside. There might be some players that I left out, but that's why we're going to come up with honorable mention. Well-deserving of becoming all-region in the Bi-City area, and we don't include Valley or Auburn or Chatco. We just include the vicinity of Columbus, Phoenix City, Smith Station, and that also includes Harris County, by the way. Time to take a break, but when we come back, Hawks get a big win, back-to-back wins for the Atlanta Hawks. We've got college basketball as we got some top 25 matchups that happened today as we wind down the regular season in the major conferences. We've got conference tournament play going on right now. Who will punch their ticket to the big dance? And I will get prepared for my final bracketology show that will air on Tuesday. You don't want to go anywhere. It is the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. And we'll be right back.
Yeah! Stick around.
Active Pest Control offers the best services and prices to protect your home, offering both monthly and quarterly pest control services, plus specific services like bed bug, German roach, and flea control. Even if you can't see them, insects are all around you 24/7. Active Pest Control wants to be the first line of defense. Active Pest Control. Repair. Bond. Best termite coverage around. Active Pest Control, 34 Jefferson Street, Newnan, 770-954-9941.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Tune in each Sunday morning right here on WQEE 99.1 FM for The Key for Help from a High with Bishop Daniel Hardaway Sr. of Redemptive Life Worship Center at 9 a.m. Hear the Word of God and soak it in. You can join us for our live Sunday service at 10 o'clock a.m. till 12:30 p.m. at Redemptive Life Worship Center at 2265 Highway 54 in Marlin, Georgia. Have a blessed week.
Back on the show, it is the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. Here's what's happening on Georgia Alabama Sports Live. As yesterday, the Rip Barringer had the final Pacelli coaches show. And also on Friday, we are going to have Shaw taking on Harris County as Rick Beach will be on the call. I plan on calling some baseball games next week, as there's some very intriguing matchups. So we haven't finalized the schedule just yet. But let's get a deep dive into the national scene in sports before I get Columbus Lions quarterback Marcus Brooks here on the show. Don't forget, I'm going to have Dave Plata on the show tomorrow. And you might want to check that out. Let's start with the Atlanta Hawks. Two-game win streak. They're usually not a good team when they go on a back-to-back, but a great defensive effort at State Farm Arena, getting the 112-101 victory over the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Atlanta Hawks are 4-1 without Trae Young. Now, this is not something that says, well, they need Trae Young and they could, or they can win without him. This is not the case. They're just playing really good team basketball, even though Jalen Johnson is very inconsistent. I mean, he has an incredible night against the Knicks, and then he only scores 7 points against the Cavaliers. But you did get top scoring from Bogdan Bogdanović and Sadiq Bey, both with 23 points. DeJounte Murray kind of had an off-night shooting, but he still had 18 points. DeAndre Hunter off the bench, I wonder if he likes that role, 17 points. They are going to be in Memphis, taking on the Memphis Grizzlies this Friday at the FedEx Forum. I've been there a couple of times. I mean, I'm torn because I love the Hawks and I love the Grizzlies. I lived in Memphis in 2005 and I witnessed LeBron drop 50 on the Memphis Grizzlies team. You remember those Memphis Grizzlies teams? I actually watched the Grizzlies when they had Pau Gasol, but I think the greatest Memphis Grizzlies teams were the ones with Marc Gasol, Zach Randolph, Tony Allen, Mike Conley Jr. Those were the teams. And they do have some other teams on the schedule, including the Boston Celtics twice coming up this month. We got about a month and a half until the regular season is over. You know, I was talking to some NBA fans and like who they want to see in the NBA Finals. Of course, the Boston Celtics, if they don't make it to the NBA Finals, it's a disappointment. Milwaukee with Doc Rivers, they're starting to get their stride, a 6-game win streak. The surprising team, in my opinion, is the Orlando Magic. Right now on a 5-game win streak, nobody's talking about the all-star Paolo Banchero. He is not just an all-star. I think he is going to make at least second-team All-NBA, as he is a very underrated player. The Knicks, you know they play tough in the regular season under Tom Thibodeau. Is that going to register in the playoffs? And the Miami Heat, right now the number 6 seed, probably expect them to win a playoff series because of their experience with Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. Although they don't have the depth they had last year with guys like Duncan Robinson and Max Strus. But just think about how fascinating that is, that the Miami Heat had all those players who were undrafted free agents. That'll be an interesting team to see. I want to see what the Sixers look like when Joel Embiid comes back. But right now, the Hawks playing the Bulls in that play-in game. Over in the West, can the Minnesota Timberwolves get to the NBA Finals? Anthony Edwards, 26 points a game. Karl Anthony Towns, 22. That's a pretty good duo. Rudy Gobert, I mean, he was a good addition. I mean, he's 12 rebounds. It is incredible. The leadership of Mike Conley, one of the best lockdown defenders in the NBA, Jaden McDaniels. The Timberwolves are playing hard, and they do have the best record in the Western Conference. I've said this before. I worry that when they get into a playoff series with Denver or with the Lakers, can they get that to 7 games? Can they get home court? Because of the Lakers or the Nuggets or the Clippers, if they steal a game in Minnesota, I think it's going to be very challenging for Minnesota to win a playoff game on the road. I think their saving grace is if they have home court advantage. The West is absolutely wide open. And even teams like the Lakers and the Warriors, if they win that play-in game, they could go on a run. But right now, the Lakers are in a position a half game behind the Dallas Mavericks. The best they could do if they started the playoffs tomorrow is 8th place, which means they would face the Minnesota Timberwolves in the first round. And I still would think that the Lakers would be the favorite just because it is LeBron, it is AD, and when everybody is healthy, the Lakers just figure out a way to win. College basketball, man, we had some top 25 matchups, including some teams on upset alert. But Tennessee has proven that they are deserving of our number one seed. They defeat South Carolina in Columbia 66-59. They got a big showdown against Kentucky. And that is the final regular season game in the SEC. Conference tournament play will start next week. I think Tennessee is going to get the number one seed, and they are going to win the regular season in the SEC. In my opinion, if the Tennessee Volunteers win the SEC tournament, that's deserving enough to get a number one seed. Look, I like Rick Barnes as a coach. I mean, they have gotten close a couple of times. They've lost in the Sweet 16 twice in the last 10 years. Second round exit, first round exit, second round exit. If Tennessee can't get past the Sweet 16, it's a disappointment. They have got to get to the Elite Eight this year. I just don't see any other way around it. If you go all the way back to even 2014 with Konzu Martin, lost to Michigan in the Sweet 16. Their last time that they were in the Elite Eight, it was the 2009-2010 season under Bruce Pearl. They lose to Michigan State. You remember when they beat Ohio State in the Sweet 16? Yeah, I remember that. They were number four seed. Could not beat a Michigan State Spartan team in 2010 that had Draymond Green. But this 2024 team, I think, is loaded as they got their leading scorer, Dalton Knecht, who averages 20.6 points a game. You got Jonas Adul, and then you got Zakai Zegler. They got a good team, and I think that the Tennessee Volunteers can at least get to the Elite Eight. Otherwise, it's a disappointment. Other teams, it seems like Houston has survived and advanced. And Houston, and they are the number one overall seed, in my opinion. Kelvin Sampson is just doing a phenomenal job with this Houston Cougars team. And let me tell you something, because I think that what Houston is doing, is now that they made the transition into the Big 12, you know, they've got LJ Cryer, Jamal Shedd, Emmanuel Harp, got some good players. Can they make a deep run into the NCAA tournament? Well, let's take a look at the Cougars' history. Since Kelvin Sampson has taken over this team in 2015, they have made five NCAA tournament appearances, including a Final Four appearance in 2022. They lost in the Sweet 16. They lost in the Elite Eight. Lost in the Sweet 16 and 19, and lost in the second round. The expectations. Houston has got to get to a Final Four. They don't have to win it, but if they don't get to a Final Four, it's a disappointing season. UConn, big win over Marquette. I think UConn, at first, was a team that could go back-to-back. They do have the five championships. Five with three different head coaches. It's actually fascinating what the UConn Huskies have done, winning championships in 99, 04, 11, 14, and 23 with Dan Hurley, Kevin Ollie, and Jim Calhoun. How about that? And they have been in the Big East since 2020, and UConn, I would not underestimate the UConn Huskies, especially when you got players like Tristan Newton and Cam Spencer that can light it up at any moment. How about the freshman, Stephon Castle from Newton over there in Georgia? I have often criticized UConn on this show for backdooring their way into championships and playing teams that were just happy to be there, like San Diego State or Butler, or an eighth-seeded Kentucky, or a Georgia Tech team that was happy to be there in 04. Look, I'm not a UConn hater. I just think that UConn, they got to get to a Final Four this year, otherwise it's a disappointment. But UConn's never won back-to-back. So what is the true expectations for UConn to get to the Final Four? And when you're filling out your bracket, do you trust that UConn can make a deep run? What if they don't have a player that gets hot? Jordan Hawkins, Shabazz Napier, Kemba Walker, they're not running through that building. So we'll see. We'll see how this UConn Huskies team is. Meanwhile, the team that I would love to see make the Final Four, because they haven't made the Final Four since the 1980 season with Lee Rose, and that is the Purdue Boilermakers. Matt Painter might have his best team. Remember last year, they only became the second number one seed to lose to a 16 seed, as they lose to Fairleigh Dickinson. Remember 2 years ago they lose to St. Peter's in the Sweet 16? And then 3 years ago, as a number four seed, they lose to the 13th seed North Texas. So that's three straight years in a row where Purdue has lost to a double-digit seed. Well, times have to change. I think Purdue is going to get a number one seed, but Zach Edey might be the Naismith Player of the Year. He averages over 24 points a game. But this is a guard-driven league. I know that Zach Edey is a special player. He's a post player. Sometimes guards end up taking over this league. Now let's talk about Arizona. These are potential number one seeds that could make a run and win an NCAA championship. Usually number one seeds have an easier path, but we'll see. You know, Tommy Lloyd is the coach. And they were number two seed last year, and they lost in the first round. A very disappointing year for Tommy Lloyd and the Arizona Wildcats last year, losing to Princeton. Princeton was a number 15 seed. Wow, we had a lot of 15 seeds have knocked off number two seeds in the last couple of years. All right, so which teams are vulnerable in this upcoming NCAA tournament? Well, let's take a look at last year's bracket. We're going to start, you know, Alabama was the overall number one seed. They did lose to San Diego State in the Sweet 16. Okay, so we did have a number one seed that went out in the Sweet 16. All right, Houston was a number one seed. They lose to Miami in the Sweet 16. Miami was a number five seed. Okay, Kansas, they were a number one seed that lost to Arkansas in the second round. So they didn't even make it to the Sweet 16. And then, of course, Purdue loses to Fairleigh Dickinson. So it's not all cracked out to be a number one seed. Let's look at the two seeds last year. Marquette, they lose to Michigan State in the second round. In fact, I picked that game. I thought, well, Michigan State's a blue blood. They got Tom Izzo. It doesn't matter that they're a seven seed. Michigan State's going to win that game. Yeah, I actually did well on that side of my bracket. Texas, they lose to Miami in the Elite Eight. I thought Texas had its best team. They were a number two seed. You know, like I mentioned, Arizona loses to Princeton in the first round. Princeton was a 15. And UCLA loses to Gonzaga in the Sweet 16. And the last time that Gonzaga played UCLA in the NCAA tournament, it was the famous Adam Morrison crying on the court. But UCLA not even making the tournament this year. All right, is it possible that a number three seed? So you look at the Final Four teams. UConn was a number four seed. They won it all. San Diego State was a number five seed. Miami was a number five seed. Florida Atlantic was a nine seed. So that tells you, because of last year, that it didn't matter if you were a top seed, because nobody less than a five seed made it to the Final Four. But it is very important to try to get one of the top seeds. And it's really all about just getting hot at the right time. NFL news. We got franchise tags all over the place. We've got some NFL free agency coming up. What is the Bears going to do with Justin Fields? Where could Russell Wilson end up landing? The Seahawks cleaning house, getting rid of Quandre Diggs, Jamal Adams, Will Disley. Are they trying to maybe bring back Russell Wilson? I don't know. That'd be a nice reunion. Russell Wilson coming back to the Seattle Seahawks. Sure, why not? That'd be kind of cool. Zach Ertz signs with the Washington Commanders. In Major League Baseball news, well, the Atlanta Braves trade left fielder Eddie Rosario to the Washington Nationals. So the 2021 NLCS MVP that they signed when they had an opportunity to sign Jorge Soler and Adam Duvall, Jock Peterson, they decided to sign Eddie Rosario, and he has been a disappointment for the Braves. That is an understatement, especially with what the Braves trying to build. They still have the best lineup in baseball. There's not even a comparison, and I don't even compare that with the Dodgers. The Braves do have the best lineup in baseball. Look at their third baseman, Austin Riley. Orlando Arcia would be considered the weak hitter in the lineup, but you got Ozzie Albies, you've got Matt Olson, you've got Marcell Ozuna, you got Michael Harris II, you got Ronald Acuña Jr., you got Sean Murphy. Yeah, that's a good, potent lineup. And the Braves opener, it's going to be here before you think. Opening day, March the 28th. You better get your popcorn ready. Who is going to win the World Series? I know Braves fans are hoping that it is their time. Hey, there is one more story I want to talk about before I close out this show. So the Atlanta Gladiators had their Thrashers night. It was nice for them to break out the old Atlanta Thrashers uniforms because it really brought back a lot of memories, because I did go to several Atlanta Thrashers games when I was living in Atlanta. Remember, I lived in Atlanta from 2006 to 2014. I was there for the Atlanta Thrashers playoff run in 2007. I went to Thrashers games in 2010 and in 2011, their final season in Atlanta, and I was a huge Thrashers fan. I thought that the future was going to be bright. I mean, they had superstars like Ilya Kovalchuk. They had Marian Hossa. And then when they drafted Zach Bogosian, Evander Kane, I thought that the Atlanta Thrashers were just a couple of moves away from being on the doorstep of the playoffs once again. Remember, they made the playoffs that one year in 2007, however, did get swept by the New York Rangers. They won the division that year. I really thought that the Atlanta Thrashers, you know, yeah, it was a PR nightmare with the whole Danny Heatley thing. It really was. But the Atlanta Thrashers had a fan base. I knew hockey fans that loved the Thrashers. And they just had a terrible ownership group. The Spirit Group might have been the worst owners in sports. I also think their biggest mistake, absolutely biggest mistake, was getting rid of Bob Hartley when he started the following year after they made the playoffs. He started 0-6. That was just a panic move, and it just... Don Waddell wasn't the right guy. They go with John Anderson for two seasons, and then finally Craig Ramsey. But you look at, in 07, the Atlanta Thrashers, 97 points, they make the playoffs. And then 08, 09, 10, and 11, 76, 76, 83, and 80. Those last couple of years, the Atlanta Thrashers were on the doorsteps of the playoffs. And I still thought that Ilya Kovalchuk was their best player. I mean, he was with them from the beginning of the franchise. Ilya Kovalchuk was the most popular Atlanta Thrasher. And he was on that team when he was 18 years old back in 2001. Anyway, I was heartbroken when the Thrashers left to become the Winnipeg Jets. knew that the writing was written on the wall when they were sold to True North Sports. And the rest is history. But if an NHL team is awarded to Atlanta, which it could happen, I know it's like three times a charm. I mean, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice. Well, that's just bad business. No, I think this time around the Atlanta Thrashers could succeed in Atlanta. Don't call them anything else. If Atlanta gets an NHL team in the future, bring back the Atlanta Thrashers. That's what we want to see. All right. Well, we are going to go ahead and take a break. We're going to close out this show with the interview that I conducted with Columbus Lions quarterback Marcus Brooks. So you don't want to go anywhere. It is the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. And we'll be back with Columbus Lions quarterback Marcus Brooks coming on the show next.
Wishbone Fried Chicken is back in a brand new location, 31 Jackson Street, Suite A here in Noonan. Same great taste, the best chicken around, fish dinners. Open Monday through Saturday, 10:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Dine in, take out. It's Wishbone Fried Chicken, right next door to their former location, bringing you the best chicken around. So great. Wishbone Fried Chicken, 31 Jackson Street, Suite A, here in Noonan.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's the Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Hey, sports fans. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time. WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Help protect your family from flu this season by taking three easy steps. First, get yourself and your family a flu shot. It's quick and can protect you all season. Second, take everyday actions to help prevent the spread of germs like flu. Cover your cough, stay home from work or school if you're sick, and wash your hands often. Third, there are drugs that can treat flu illness. These work best when started early. Learn more at cdc.gov/fightflu.
Welcome back to the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. I'm here with a very special guest in lieu of start of the training camp for the Columbus Lions. They're already underway. The season kicks off March the 17th. Please welcome to the show the Columbus Lions quarterback, Marcus Brooks.
Good morning, Mr. Richard.
All right, Marcus, talk about your journey, where you came from, and how did you end up becoming the Columbus Lions starter last season?
All right, so my journey to get here has been a little eventful. I actually started my arena career with the Macon Steel. That was, I want to say, in like 2010. It might have been 2012. And I played there for a while, then went to semi-pro, then came back to arena with the Albany Firebirds. After a year there, went back to arena, and then I came back with the Georgia Doom. After the Georgia Doom, went back to a semi-pro, and then Coach McKinney got the job with the Columbus Lions, and I'm here now.
And you had a fantastic season last year, and it seemed like the Columbus Lions just did not skip a beat. One thing that they know is quarterback play. Before that, they've had quarterbacks like Mason Espinosa, Darren Daniel, and also Chase Forcade. And then you just came right in and knew the offense. What was your relationship like with Coach McKinney? And what was some of the attributes that led to your success at playing in your first year with the Columbus Lions?
Well, actually, last year was my first time playing with Coach McKinney. I knew Coach McKinney because we had played against each other in former leagues, but it's arena ball. Nothing changes, but maybe the name of the play, but it's all the same. And the biggest attribute to my success was, first was the O-line play. I had veterans on the line. They gave me the time to make the right reads, and having veteran at receivers who already knew the game, knew where to get, and knew how to get there. They just all made it easy.
Oh, there's no question about that. I mean, you had receivers like Desmond Reese and Jarmon Fortson that played at the highest level in arena football in the National Arena League. I felt that the Columbus Lions had NAL players that just wanted to play at home, and you ended up winning the championship in the American Indoor Football Alliance. This was a newer league that had a lot of travel teams, but what were some of the challenges last year, you know, facing the teams like the Capital City Cyclones or the Mississippi Raiders? I mean, were there any obstacles in the way for you guys winning a championship last year?
The only obstacle, honestly, would have just been us. As long as we showed up and did what we were supposed to do, we were going to take care of business no matter who was in front of us. That's how we felt. That's how we went about it every day.
All right, and now you're in a new league. Well, this league was around back in 2016. The Columbus Lions were in this league, won a championship. The American Indoor Football League. You got teams in here like the Harrisburg Stampede, the Amarillo Venom. The Mississippi Raiders are making that jump from the Indoor Football Alliance League to this league. The first game is going to be against the Amarillo Venom on March the 17th. But really, the preparation for the 2024 season, how's the practices like? Where have you guys been practicing? And what are some of the hours you have for training camp? And is it open to the public?
All right. So going into this new league, we're just preparing for any and everything. It's a new league, new teams, some former teams, but right now there are no film on anybody, so we're just preparing. It's arena. You can't change too much. There's only so much you can do, so we're going with that mindset. Practices have always been harder than the games. I'm going against a great defense every day at practice, and it's only making us better. The practices are throughout the week, and sometimes on the weekends we go from 6 to 8. Practice location changes, but we just adapt and get it done. I think they are open to the public.
I do believe so. Training camp is actually being held right now at St. Ann Pacelli. They do have that indoor practice facility, but it's also Dymel Field. It's a turf field. So if there is a little bit of weather, it shouldn't matter. I think that playing on the turf field is going to help you prepare for indoor football. I think that's why you guys practiced at St. Apicelli. I know last year they played at practice at A.J. McClung, but just getting used to the grass field compared to the turf field, how is it practicing on a turf field getting prepared for the Columbus Civic Center and their turf?
The only difference with practice from field to turf to grass is landing on the ground. It's different than landing on what we play on and landing on grass. The ground that we play on doesn't give. It's hard, very hard. It reminds you every time you hit it. But practicing wise, the location or field doesn't matter. It's no feeling like being inside the arena.
All right, Marcus, now what are some of the players that are returning this season that you played with last year? And is there any new faces to look out for in 2024?
Well, I'm not going to do the other team's scouting report for them, but we have a lot of returning faces. Faces that everybody will recognize and remember. And we also have added a few new pieces that are going to make a name for themselves.
All right, Marcus, let's get back to your game and wanting to develop as a quarterback. I mean, you've had a lot of experience playing in other leagues, but what are the ultimate goals for you coming into this 2024 season?
All right, the ultimate goal for the team is championship or nothing. We're playing for a championship. That's our motto. That's our mindset. That's what we're playing for. But while achieving that championship, we want to put a good product on the field, and we just want to make the fans want to come back for more.
All right, Marcus, I want to switch gears and talk about growing up you know, living in Macon, you went to Southwest High School. You were a proud Southwest Patriot. And I actually had the privilege of seeing you when I was calling a Spencer Southwest game for Georgia Alabama Sports Live. And you happen to be there in attendance. You support your alma mater. You also support the other schools in Macon. I mean, how big is it just to have these Macon schools make deep runs? You had the Central girls make it to the Final Four. The Southwest boys team made it to the Elite Eight. And you're really a big basketball fan. You were there supporting your team and the other schools in Macon. But what does that mean to you?
Macon is united. We want to see Macon win. Yeah, when we're in school, that time that we're going against those other schools is the only time that we really have a certain dislike for them. But outside of that time, Macon is all for Macon. We want to see Macon win. We support Macon. Macon should always be behind Macon.
And, of course, the Macon fans travel at the region championship held at Spencer High School. Fans from Rutland, Central Macon, Southwest, they all made the trip. And they were loud, and they were very supportive of their Macon team. So that should have made you proud.
Yeah, it did. It was good to see Macon folks hit the road and support the school. So now that they've made that drive, they can make it again to come support the Columbus Lions.
That is a great opportunity to see one of the top quarterbacks in the league, Marcus Brooks, here on the show. Columbus Lions quarterback getting ready for the 2024 season. The home opener is April the 12th. I know that you're excited to be back in the Columbus Civic Center and seeing those Columbus Lions fans. One thing about Columbus Lions fans, Marcus, they are passionate and they are loyal, as this is the longest running sports franchise here in the Fountain City. And I cannot wait for this upcoming season. And good luck, and I'm excited to see you out at the Columbus Civic Center.
All right, appreciate it. Just a reminder, that first home game is First Responders Night.
So absolutely.
As a first responder myself, we would like to see all first responders in attendance so that we can thank you for your service.
Absolutely. All right, before I let you go, talk about the transition going from Coach McKinney to now Coach Damian Daniels. You know, he's a local talent here in Columbus. He played at Shaw. He was the defensive coordinator for the Columbus Lions in 2022. And he even came out of retirement and got a pick six. And I was on the call for that in 2022. And he currently is the defensive backs coach at Carver. I mean, so he's had a lot of experience. But what is it like playing for Damian Daniels, like in the practices? I mean, what is his coaching philosophy, and what is your relationship with Coach Daniels?
Coach Daniels is a cool guy. He's kind of laid back like me, but you know what he mean, and he mean what he say. So, like, he expects you to go out and do your job. He gets the job done. I mean, I can't put it into words. Like, Coach Dame knows what he's talking about, and he knows what it's supposed to look like. And if it doesn't look right, he's going to let you know, he's going to correct it, and we're going to get it right. It's just, he's a perfectionist as well. He want to win at a high level, and we're going to continue that.
All right, and also I want to give credit to really the staff for the Columbus Lions for really keeping this thing afloat. I know that there was a lot of uncertainty with the Lions, especially when Coach Jason Gibson, longtime head coach, left for the Jacksonville Sharks. And then a couple of months later, the NAL decided to drop the Columbus Lions as a member. But Richard Mycelia, Casey Smith, Lee Snow, felt like they resurrected the team, got a new logo, just a new vibe. And I'm just excited that you're a part of it, Marcus. And is there anything else you would like to add about really what does it mean to be a Columbus Lion, and also the organization itself? What does it mean to you just to be a part of this organization?
I'm just happy for the opportunity. I appreciate the opportunity. I'm not going to let it just go unnoticed. I appreciate them giving me a chance, sticking with me. And I'm just going to do all I can to continue to win a tradition that they've set here.
All right, absolutely. Good luck this season. I can't wait to see you at the Columbus Civic Center. April the 12th for the home opener. It is First Responders Night. And wish you the best of luck this upcoming season.
All right, thank you.
All right, Columbus Lions quarterback Marcus Brooks, thank you so much, everybody. We'll be right back.
At Jersey Mike's, they slice your order fresh right in front of you. And let me tell you, watching that can send a rush of emotions through a person. Excitement, impatience, baby-like wonder, indecisive, anticipatory chewing, nervous pacing, happy claps, and finally, jealousy, because that's this guy's sub. I should order one. Good idea.
Sliced right in front of you. It's a Jersey Mike's thing. A sub above.
When you really need something to get you through a long graduation ceremony, Trolley Sour Gummy Worms are there to give you a thrill. With varieties like Trolley Sour Bursting Crawlers, the worms' soft and chewy texture, surprising flavor combinations, and neon bright colors will give everyone a reason to celebrate. So when you want to notch the festivities up a couple degrees, Trolley Sour Gummy Worms are the perfect way for everyone to celebrate. Shop now for any trolley that crawls your way.
This is Austin Black, and I am the host of Behind the Tunes. Have you ever wondered about the stories behind your favorite songs and the journeys of those that sing them? Well, each week, we invite you to go behind the tunes and step into the stories behind your favorite Christian artists that shape the landscape of today's music.
Hey everybody, this is Andy Christman. Join me this week for worship as I play 2 hours of the best in modern worship music from churches and worship leaders around the world. And this week, my special guest is Blake Goss of New Spring Worship.
See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do not perceive it. I'm making ways in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. For us, that scripture came alive because he did a new thing actually in an old place.
You don't want to miss a moment of this week's worship with me, your host, Andy Christman.
WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, home of Southern Sports and Talk, Noonan, Sharpsburg, Franklin.
The Baxters have a new first book. From number one New York Times best-selling novelist Karen Kingsbury, author of life-changing fiction, comes The Baxters, a prequel. The heart-pounding story of Carrie Baxter's wedding. Amidst family tension and the worst storm Bloomington, Indiana has seen in a decade. The Baxters, by America's favorite inspirational storyteller, Karen Kingsbury. Visit KarenKingsbury.com for more information. The Baxters, available now wherever books are sold.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Calvary Sonoy Fellowship is an expository Bible teaching church where we study the Word of God line by line and we apply it life by life. We're here every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock on WQEE and we look forward to having you join us. Our church offices are located in Sonoy, Georgia, 6855 East Highway 16, Suite 102, Sonoy, Georgia. If you'd like to call us, our number is 770-755-8243. Or you can reach me, I'm Pastor Bob, at bob@calvarysonoy.org. S-E-N-O-I-A. You also can go to our website at www.calvarysonoy.org. You can reach our YouTube channel there as well as our Facebook page. Join us at 10 o'clock right here on WQEE.
You've been listening to another episode of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. You can catch an episode daily on WQEE 99.1 FM The Key, Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. This is a podcast that covers local sports to the Chattahoochee Valley. If you would like to catch a replay of the show, you can download an episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.